Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, good Friday morning, rocking and rolling here at AM 560, The Answer. Ray Stevens, Ray.
Ray.
Ramblin' Ray. No, yeah. What do we go with?
Well, in some instances, it's Ramblin' Ray. If you're in West Chicago, it's Ray Stasekel. If you're in Alderman Ray Lopez's district, it's Ramondo Sanchez. Today, it can just be Ray Stevens.
Okay. So that's what you want me to go with?
It's whatever Stevens. You want. It's just, I'm just glad not to be home today.
I know. I was walking out of my house, and here's your public service announcement for today. I slipped on my icy stairs and fell down and went boom. Didn't see that coming. I went, whoo!
You still taking that balance of nature?
Yeah, I lost my balance with my nature there.
Well, it's good that your bones are strong then.
I know. I don't feel any pain.
No?
No.
You're walking a little crooked. How's your hip?
I wanted that deployable hip airbag. Have you seen those?
No.
When John Howell worked here, we had it. You can strap it on, and then as soon as you fall, it's
like an
airbag. You
say John Howell has a strap on?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Now, what are you doing now? Because last time you filled in, you had an animal encounter. Remember? You were...
Right now, I'm like, I fill in on radio stations all across the country.
Really?
A lot of work on KCMO in Kansas, WTN in Nashville, another local radio station here in town.
Uh-huh.
But mostly, I am just at the beck and call of my very hot girlfriend.
Oh, what's her name?
Gina. I think Gina, yeah.
Oh, you're still with Gina?
Yeah.
And you still call her hot?
She is hot.
Oh, that
now
is
I'm
so
playing nice. Way above the rim.
Where'd you meet her?
That's a long story.
Uh-oh. which means you don't want to tell this story.
No, I met her in the Ned Grove Preserve here over in Bussy Woods. It was a 5K run for charity. I was like, hey, how you doing?
Oh, my God, that's so funny. Well, I got sucked into last night watching videos of John Howell and I in Costa Rica when we went on our first work trip.
Mm.
And then it reminded me, you two worked together for...
Forever.
How many years?
Yeah.
So were you his first wife or was... And then I was the rebound wife?
Well, actually, in our relationship, he was the woman.
Okay.
So, yeah. I actually worked with him when he was a conservative, which was really cool. He's not anymore.
No, he's not.
But he loves you. He absolutely...
Aww.
Loves you. I actually sent him a message. I said, I am going to send you a picture of me and Amy. And he's like, oh, just tell her I love her. But he told me stories of that Costa Rica trip.
Oh, he lost his toes because of that trip. I mean, the man lost. Let Mike Scott get into this. He lost
one toe.
Well,
just one. Then put a hole in the bottom.
Well, that's the problem. Well, there you go. He leans to the left because he has to. He's got no choice.
Exactly right.
No, the problem. All right, so this is what happened.
Careful, John and I grew up in the same hometown.
Oh, I know. You're going to throw.
Are you from Holland?
Dutch clogs
well,
at us.
Well, I'm from Zealand, so
okay.
Near Zealand.
So. All right.
Well, that's where Ginger Z's from. She's from Zealand.
Yeah, but we've excommunicated her.
Oh, I love Ginger
Z. Because she went to New York.
You know, when John Holland, I like the big guy, but when his father died, he tried to get a picture of his father that he adored this picture. It was his father holding up a beer, and they were doing a toast.
Yeah,
and they sent it to the Holland newspaper, Mike, and they wouldn't print it because he had a beer in his hand.
So we
made a bet that I was going to go get the money for the obituary back from the Holland, whatever the local newspaper was, and I did. I went there on the Friday before his dad's funeral. And I said, hey, you didn't print the right picture. And they were like, well, it was, this is
promoting
Holland.
Alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, I'm going to need that money back. And I got it back.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. John loved it. I go, here's your money.
Yeah. The Holland Sentinel.
Yeah. Holland Sentinel.
Well,
that's what it was.
Back to his losing body parts. Okay. So the week before our trip, He was on Michigan Avenue, I think, with Sarah. They were shopping, and he was wearing the wrong shoes. So he got blisters on the bottom of his feet. Then we went to Costa Rica, and he went in the water with me and my boys, and we were doing chicken, you know, chicken, what do you call that? Oh, my God, I can't think of this early in the morning.
You're just playing chicken.
Playing chicken.
On the shoulders.
Yeah, on the, thank you. And he cut the bottom of his foot.
Right.
And then he walked around all night, and it got infected, and then eventually he lost a toe.
Well, good morning. You're listening to AM 560 The Answer. How you doing? This is not an April Fool's joke.
Oh, today's April Fool's.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, what do we have planned? I remember the first April Fool's I worked here, and we, told people that we sold the station to Rainbow Push.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had Reverend Jackson
on, yeah.
He called in.
Sure.
He didn't know about the bit, and it was a whole hour segment.
It was
that we sold, the Salem radio sold it to Rainbow Push College.
That's bad, when you could have some fun on the radio.
I know.
Now everybody's so uptight. It's like, are you kidding me?
Well, speaking of uptight, all right, so we did this roast for Dan Proft. Excuse me. And first of all, you know, you can see it on the YouTubes, I guess, or on Venmo. And I've been trying to see it and to get into it. The Roast of Dan Proft is now available on video on demand. All right. So here's the email. External, you know, people have to pay $9.99 to watch it.
I remember this because I wrote a couple jokes for this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. $9.99 is 560theanswer.com/roast. For employees, this is the link you have to go to.
Uh-huh.
And I texted Marcus back because I worked really hard on that roast. And I said, what's the password? And he says, no password. You need to log into Vimeo using Facebook.
So what you have to pay for it?
What the heck does that mean?
Yeah, you got to pay for
Justin
it.
Justin Kosick's got to help me out. Old people in phone segment. No, you need to log into Vimeo using Facebook. What does that mean?
For somebody like me, it was pretty difficult to figure out. For someone like you, that was basically
it's impossible.
A death sentence.
Yeah, watching.
So you have to go on there and make this free account, I guess. Oh. So once you log in.
Weren't you at the roast?
Yeah.
Then why do you have to see it again?
Well, my kids want to see it because they helped me with some zingers.
You want to hear the one I wrote? Maybe this didn't make it or not.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, wait. First, let Justin. What do I have to do real quick, Justin?
Oh, it's really simple.
Or should
simple.
We do this during the break?
You come in here and do it during the break. It's perfect. That way we don't spoil anything on the air.
Okay. Oh, you're right.
Here's the bit I wrote for the roast. I said, this is.
You should have been there.
Well, you know. We're glad Amy Jacobson could make it tonight. Amy has been having health problems lately.
Hmm.
And was scheduled to undergo surgery.
Oh, wow.
But she stormed out of the operating room when she saw that everyone was wearing masks. There you go. Actually, that was written by Keith Conrad.
That is...
Who now identifies as married, which is crazy. How'd that happen?
Oh, yeah, he got married.
Yeah.
That's
a nice piece right there.
Talk about moving up in the world.
Yeah, he did.
Marrying up.
Yeah, he did.
Well, he reached up and he got a winner.
You know, and
he did. I love Mr.
You know, and the world of social media keeps us all connected, and I pay attention to his tweets and Misty and all of those things they do, and they live right across from the firehouse where they live. And I'm like, buddy, I go, keep an eye on those firemen because that 24 on and 24 off, that's a real thing.
Stop it. <Da-da-da. laughs> All right, so we had this roast, and it was sold out within, you know, a few days. And Dan always jokes around about the Gwyneth Paltrow vagina candle. Mm-hmm. You know, it smells like my vagina. That's the name of the candle.
It smells like yours or hers?
No, it smells like hers.
Okay.
Supposedly, allegedly, this marketing ploy. And obviously, it doesn't smell like anybody's vajayjay.
Yeah.
But it's $72, this candle. So I bought it for him for his birthday. We got a letter from one of the attendees. Dear Amy and Dan, I think you owe your audience an apology for your offensive discussion on the radio of what was said at Dan's roast. I no longer care about you two as people or of your show because you obviously are frauds and liars.
Wow. What'd you lie about?
I don't know. What kind of people are you that you go on and on about children and education and God, but one morning, and then you do what you did at that roast? It was not funny.
Mm. I got to agree. That's not
funny.
Or
acceptable. It turns out to be the same rubbish that is on late night TV. You are just like the people you complain about. You are nobodies because you lack character.
Never had character to begin with. What are you kidding me?
I feel defrauded by having listened to you these past few years. Thanks for nothing.
Way to go.
Isn't that rude?
The Gwyneth Paltrow vagina candle.
Did she stop listening after the candle, or did she stop listening a couple of years ago?
No, she said, I've been listening to you for the past few years. She's done. It's over. We've broken up. Maybe I should I write her back?
No.
No?
No. If it was an email, that'd be easier. Writing, who writes anymore?
Well, I write letters. I have her address. Should I go take a visit?
Is it written on paper or a stone tablet?
No. but obviously, people don't know what a roast is.
Yeah.
Have you ever been roasted or been part of a roast?
I was part of a roast. I roasted Mayor Brad Stevens in Rosemont.
Oh.
And that was fun.
Oh.
That was fun. I thought I was going to be part of the speed bumps
uh-huh.
In the new parking garage over there because I took it to the old guy pretty hard. But it's on, man. Yeah.
There's a roast.
There's no boundaries. You show up to hear people in Rosemont, you show up to get people whacked. Or here you show up to see, you know, to get people zinged.
560theanswer.com/roast is where you can find it.
This is the morning show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. America First with Sebastian Gorka. Today at 3, right before Sean Thompson at 4 on AM 560, The Answer.
Have you ever heard of the record northshore.org?
No, I live in the western suburbs. I try not to partake in
it's
anything.
Like two different worlds.
Yeah,
the western suburbs
it
and
is.
The North Shore.
Yeah.
Well,
I cut my own lawn, too. It's crazy.
So do I.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. I always have. All right. So New Trier High School back in the news because their lacrosse players, there's some video of lacrosse players battering one of their teammates. So there's a video of it, and two anonymous sources dropped it off at the Record, which is a newspaper in Leafy Wilmette there in Winnetka. And it shows, it's an incident that happened in early March, and it's a graphic recording that shows four male individuals pouring canned liquid on another individual who's down on all fours and has a cardboard beer box covering his head.
This sounds like Friday night at my place.
Okay, so the individuals then strike the victim near his head and face with the end of a plastic baseball bat.
Okay, first of all, it's plastic. You know, in my neighborhood, it would be wooden or aluminum.
Okay. All right. And then the three people continually kick the victim then as when he falls onto the ground. But it sounds like an initiation thing because on the video, which they're not releasing, they say, I knight this man, something, something, New Trier lacrosse.
Yeah.
And another one says, okay, he's good. He's good.
Yeah.
And then they leave.
You know, I'm torn here because I'm seeing Nicky Santoro.
Uh-huh.
In Casino, right before they roll him into the shallow grave in the cornfield, and then I'm just thinking about a bunch of dumb kids that are trying to get YouTube hits and TikTok hits.
Well,
I don't know.
Three,
I don't know.
312-642-56 excuse me 00 turnkey.pro answer line 64636 type in DA then a quick comment again 312-642-5600. I mean, it's a hazing incident. Yes, Winnetka Police Department is investigating, but they're choosing to take the high road and not show the video. Why? Are they afraid of repeat offenders? Are they afraid to make Winnetka and New Trier look bad?
The Trevians.
Well,
I suppose, why wouldn't the kid, if it was some kind of a beating or a hazing,
well,
which we know
like
is
it.
Not allowed, why would the kid not press charges? Because the kid's part of the deal.
Right. The kid's family, when reached out by the Record, said that they declined to pursue charges.
Do we know if
they kicked his torso and his back too? I guess. It's
do we know
bad.
If any of the kids that were doing the kicking of the torso and the back? Did he make fun of this boy's girlfriend's hair by any chance? Do we know that?
No, we don't know anything. But the New Trier Boys Lacrosse Twitter account has been deactivated. Their team season opening game on March 24th against Grays Lake North canceled. And then they had an away trip planned to Ohio that was canceled.
Well, so, who wants to go to Ohio this time of year? It's
hey,
crap.
It's spring break.
Great. Let's go to Ohio. If you're from New Trier, aren't you somewhere in the Bahamas?
I don't know. I mean, the Trevians have 13 state champions since 1995. They're, you know, obviously it's New Trier. But
right.
The fact that they're treating them differently. When this happened in Glenbrook North, might I remind you all, remember?
Is
during
this
the
another
Powder
one of,
Puff game.
Is this another one of your dust-ups?
Well, during the Powder Puff game, they recorded, you know, girls, like, they were hazing each other, throwing things. I mean, just punching each other.
That's how we get strong.
No, it was ridiculous. But we showed the video.
Yeah.
So they should show the video. But there's different rules for different people. 312-642-5600. Also, somebody not pressing charges is Chris Rock. We learned yesterday the president of the Academy, after he went up and slapped
Will Smith,
charges against Will Smith. Chris Rock is not going to be pressing charges against Will Smith.
You know, I don't know if you heard about this little dust up on the View, but they were talking about it as well, because they presupposed, what if this was two white guys that did this? Hollywood would be going nuts. The elite would be woke. They'd be saying these are bad. You know, this is toxic masculinity. Bad. But this thing's just kind of, you know, he should have to give that statue back that looks mysteriously like his wife.
Oh,
but
hey,
she's a beautiful woman.
She is beautiful.
I will tell you this, though, about her. You know, when they do show pictures of Jada, do you notice any hair loss? Her hair is not, I mean, to me.
No, it's receding, and it's a fact that it.
Well, all our hair's receding. As a matter of fact, this morning I stopped off at the hair club for men that's here in the building.
And that's why you ended up in here.
Said, hey, Amy's working alone. I'll help her out. But it's amazing. And I think what happens, and this speaks to the problems that we have, not only in America, but here in Chicago per se, is that, you know, when you're shipped off to live with somebody else, your auntie and your uncle in Bel Air, because you're from East L.A., and your parents get rid of you because you got in one little fight. And then they move you out. I think that there's a problem there that stems from a well-off childhood, but one without his mother and his father.
Oh, yeah. No, he lived in Philadelphia and was born and raised by his parents love him.
You know what? First of all, I don't know any self-respecting man. And God, you know, Chris Rock has God bless that guy. Because if that was any of my guys that I hang out with, that would have been on.
Well, here's the producer, Will Packer, talking about what happened.
They were saying, you know, this is battery was the word they used in that moment. They said, we will go get him. We are prepared. We're prepared
LA
to get
police.
Him right now. You can press charges. We can arrest him. They were laying out the options. And as they were talking, Chris was being very dismissive of those options. He was like, no, I'm fine. He was like, no. And even to the point where I said, Rock, let him finish. The LAPD officers finished laying out what his options were. And they said, you know, would you like us to take any action? And he said, no. He said, no.
He loses immediate credibility if he Chris Rock can't press charges because people are then he becomes a victim, and he doesn't want to be a victim. He wants to joke about this, put it behind him. He has nothing to gain but good exposure from this, while Will Smith has nothing but damage control to do.
Well, do you think he should give back his Oscar? I mean, that might suspend him, but we have to keep in mind that Harvey Weinstein and Roman Polanski, they've been, you know, permanently, you know, denounced by the Academy, but they never asked them for their Oscars back.
Yeah, I know. His body of work still stands on his own. He won it for what he did.
Did you see the movie?
No.
My sister saw it and loved it.
Yeah.
And she said, you have got to see it. I thought The Pursuit of Happiness, I thought he did amazing. And I loved Concussion. Loved Concussion. And I can't wait to see King Richard. And John Anthony, who filled in yesterday where you're sitting, he saw it twice. He liked it that much. King Richard.
I'm still, here's what I'm watching. I'm watching Making Anna, or Inventing Anna. And I'm watching Emily in Paris. That's what I'm watching at my house.
Really?
Yeah. And in the meantime, I'm on my phone on Marketplace looking for motorcycles. My life is a living hell. But, look, his body of work stands on his own. This is the only guy, really, one of the only African-American guys in Hollywood that is almost a bona fide $100 million opening weekend guy.
Right.
And I think that's where the different standards come in. We were just talking about it with the Trevians. You know, there are people that have different standards. If this was, and I hate to bring race into this, but I think we work by different rules.
If there was a white guy hitting Chris Rock, they would
forget it. Forget
zooped
it.
In, cut to a commercial.
Oh no! Now we're dragging people out of their cars in L.A. and we've full scale riots.
What?
But you know, and everybody thought it was staged, and he didn't hit him that hard. Nah, that was a pretty good hit, you know, for Will Smith. I mean, any of my guys hit like that guy's going down.
I know.
You know,
that was kind of a little.
Yeah, we live in a world of MMA fighters. Come on, bring it. I want to see some knees, elbows, and Dagestani handcuffs.
But it's just a weird time for him to support his wife because they are in an open marriage.
Yeah.
And she's brought her boyfriend home, who's half her age, who her kids introduced her to.
Yeah, August.
I mean, that's how...
Yeah.
Is that his name,
His name is August. I was talking with producer Keith early about this. I don't care who you are. You are in that kind of relationship. Uh-uh. It does not work out well. Somebody's angry. Somebody's mad. It might be fun at first, I guess, but...
No, I... Ew.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not letting that happen in my family ever.
Yeah.
I'd rather walk on my knees to O'Hare from here than let that happen in my house.
God-fearing normal people.
But I think that was his time to, like, oh, I'll stick up for you.
Yeah.
Even though 4 days before on TikTok she was bragging about, I'm bald and I love this and blah, blah, blah.
Take a joke.
312-642-5600. Let's go to Craig in Mount Greenwood. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, good morning, Amy and Cool Ray, your partner there.
Hey, brother.
Ray.
Good to hear you. Yeah. Oh, hey. Hey, listen, they could solve this thing real easy. The best thing to do with this Will Smith thing is give that guy a choice. Say, you either lose your Oscar or you're banned from attending any future events. Take the pick. But you're not going to just do this and get away with it and whatever. And I think that would send the message. It would basically kind of like bring some justice to the thing. But they're too stupid and too leftist to probably do anything correct. But that's what they should do.
Yeah,
my choice would be just to ban them anyways. But
all right. Well, his shows are, I mean, they're packed. The ticket sales went from $34 a ticket to $797 for one ticket.
There's audio of him in New York.
Boston. He's in Boston.
Pardon me?
He's in Boston.
Is that where he is? Boston? Yep. Okay, there's audio and video of him. And he's like, you know, he addressed it, but he says, I haven't written any jokes yet.
We played that yesterday. Yeah. Somebody snuck a camera in. Secretly recorded his vultures.
Because nobody bring cameras, into shows or anything like that. But, I say charity, because these guys are all woke. They want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Put them in a cage. Let's see. Oh. Look, bring it. Bring it.
You know what? They can make a ton of money for a charity.
Right.
If they had just a boxing match.
You know, neither of these guys can fight. That's the thing that upsets me.
You know who
me.
Weighed in on us? I mean, everybody from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to O.J. Simpson, because he knows a lot about smacking people.
The question I've been getting is Will Smith and Chris Rock. Hey, look, it was unfortunate. I think Will was wrong.
Where is he at a bar?
Look, I understood the feeling. Now, in my life, I've been through a lot of crap, and I was raising two young kids, and every comedian in the country had an OJ routine, and don't think I wouldn't want to be slapped a couple of those guys, but you got to accept it's humor.
Oh, he had to rein in his anger and rage.
And we appreciate that sound clip from Up in the Club.
What is he doing?
Oh, no. Looking for the killer at every club and golf course in America.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Yeah, you recently were at a Jeannie Ives event.
Yeah, Jeannie and I are buddies, and she asked me if I'd come out and host the State of Delusion, which was the State of the Union speech.
Oh. Did you guys have a drinking game? Like every time he said, or he started whispering?
Yeah. When
you leaned in?
Yeah. And then we did Trump bingo whenever he mentioned Trump.
How many times did he mention Trump?
A lot. I mean, good thing I had a designated driver, because let me tell you something, it was on. But it was fun. There was a lot of your listeners there, it was an interesting night, to say the least. And that's Jeff Sullivan was there.
Jesse Sullivan?
Jesse was there.
Now, doesn't he look like Tom Brady?
He's a good-looking guy.
Better-looking or what? Like a B version of Tom Brady?
Because
I love when we talk about this. It's very uncomfortable for you.
What, if a guy's good-looking? Now, being as handsome as I am, it doesn't bother me. Because I am a good-looking man. But no, I think he's they're straight up. That's the pretty team.
Yeah, my sister calls it the pretty people party.
Pretty people party, and Kathleen Murphy. Yep. How you doing?
You're taken, man.
Oh no, I am. But I see, because I identify as a man. I still do that. And I have no problem. I love women, and she is fantastic. And I actually met her when she was working with Jeannie.
With Jeannie
at a Bright Ideas a deal that I would go to every now and then. And on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. Well, speaking of you identify as a man, they are changing what you can put on your passport. Did you hear about this?
I just got a passport.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. Did you put M, F, or X?
I put MFR.
There you go.
Yeah, bad MFR.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Yeah, because yesterday was Transgender Appreciation Day or whatever. Did you get a card for me? That
great? You know, what I don't understand is all these factions of people. And listen, man, I love who you love, be who you are. It just, you know, doesn't every life on principle matter? I mean, really.
Right. But now there's a new gender. So when you sign up to get your passport, which you just did, starting April 11th, you can pick male, female, or X.
I didn't notice that. Maybe just because I'm so programmed to putting down M.
Right.
But now maybe I'm questioning it a little.
Yeah, well, so that's, and then also the way that people are screened on people, transgenders and non-binaries, which means... What does it mean?
I don't know.
Justin, what is non-binary?
I don't even know what. I can't even identify woman. If you can't do that, don't ask me to identify non-binary.
Because the transgender community had a huge rally in Chicago yesterday in front of the Daily Center, saying that when they go through TSA, they're wrongly checked.
Okay.
And well, everybody feels violated when they go through TSA. You don't have to be a transgender to feel violated. Because I got violated pretty hard. I was shocked.
I put my hands on my head and I start to dance.
What do you mean? When they?
Yeah, like I'm in a club, you know?
Oh, my God. I would hate to be a TSA agent having to work with you. Oh, my God. I would lose my mind.
But here.
Here's the rules. These are the new rules. Starting when you go through TSA as a transgender, you tell them you're transgender. There's gender-neutral screening, which what does that mean? A TSA transgender agent is going to screen you? Because they want to have the same sex. So when I get patted down, and one time very violently patted down.
I don't care who pats me down.
It's a woman that pats me down.
I'd rather have a woman pat me down.
You feel more comfortable. No, but you get a man.
Yeah.
Have you ever been patted down by a man?
Just when I was working with Howell.
Okay. Yeah. No longer using gender as a factor to verify identity. So you can't ask. So you're just supposed to assume when they walk through that we have a transgender, we need a transgender pat down. New training and screening procedures. This is all a bunch of Democratic gobbledygook.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that is why. And even the smart Democrats in this state, and I know, and trust me, I know you're going to get mad at me for saying that, but, you know, guys that are in the know, that are political newsmakers, will say that's why this party is going to be swept away in the midterms, because they don't think like regular people anymore. They are not the party of the people anymore.
You've made the switch. And it feels so good. You switch to Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
The Great Gas Giveaway. Who's in? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Amy Jacobson here, Ray Stevens filling in for Dan Proft today.
Good to be doing something this morning other than, you know, sitting up north in my cabin watching snow fall down that never seems to end.
I mean, it has been raining all week. If you were on spring break this week, you chose the best week ever to be out of this H-hole, if you know what I'm saying.
I have a buddy that he made all his money in, he owned the chemical that pulls fuel from shale. So fracking is basically how he made all his money. I don't know how much money this guy has, but he's one of my very good friends. He has his own private jet, and I was supposed to be in Cabo this week, but we couldn't, and we fly there private, which is just stupid. If you ever fly private, you'll never want to fly again.
Right.
But Gina couldn't find anybody to sit the dogs.
So you... stayed here.
I stayed here.
And now you're with me.
Yeah, and I'm with you.
I'm sorry.
The
well, speaking of gas, the Great Gas Giveaway, because Mayor Lightfoot couldn't just let Willie Wilson give away $1.2 million of free gas.
Yeah, but now use
the... She has a new program.
Yeah, right.
All right, here's the program. Ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
I'll tell you how you can apply.
All right.
This is a $12.5 million financial assistance program providing relief to tens of thousands of drivers and transit riders.
Okay, who's paying for that?
We are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This was the best way that we could reach the maximum number of people over a period of time and give them immediate relief that they actually feel.
So she's trying to compete with Willie Wilson buying votes. So here's the deal. They're giving away 50,000. So a city of, what, 3 million, maybe 2.5 now. They're giving away $50,150 gas cards that can be used at any station. And they're also giving away CTA cards that have $50 on it, the venture card.
At what point did we stop giving and taking handouts, man? Before you know it, we'll just be standing in lines to get a loaf of bread.
All right, well, here's the catch. And I want to know if anybody's going to be applying for this. 312-642-5600. I might fill out the paperwork. Here's the catch. You have to live in Chicago. Check. You have to have a household income under $140,000. Check. And a valid city sticker on your car.
Wait a second. You make under $140,000? You're so full of crap. Now, that's I can check that box.
Now, so who's in? I mean, would you waste time filling out the paperwork? Because it's a lottery system, but she's trying to act like she's doing something because she cares.
They're giving away money.
Oh, sorry about that. That was the wrong
thing. That's that other guy.
Excuse me. That's that other guy.
That's that other nut.
No, people are excited. Some people that, you know, Channel 7 talk to.
And giving away money often softens the blows to those who are in poor economic situations. And so I'm not opposed to that.
It's good if you live in the city, but what about the people that live in the suburbs?
Well, the people that live in the suburbs, that's not Mayor Lightfoot's problem.
Hey, how about bringing back some jobs and maybe some manufacturing and still putting up the next shiny building downtown? How about you put something in the south and western suburbs, somewhere where somebody can go, have some self-worth, and actually go do a job? Because those neighborhoods, those hard-impact and hard-hit neighborhoods, and I talk about this a lot. I work a lot in the 15th with Lopez. I do cleanups down there with him. He's a good man. And for the most part, these are good people that just want to live in peace. And there's a small percentage of D-bags that sit down there and they cause problems. How about you work in those communities, make it a little bit better, and you don't have all these other problems. You don't have to be getting out of handouts anymore.
Well, speaking of handouts, President Biden has to get – yesterday was a great gas giveaway because that's the number one concern is inflation.
Yeah.
And escalating sky-high gas prices.
Yeah, how about food? When are you going to start giving out some chicken? Have you been to the store lately?
I talk to myself at the store.
Yeah.
And want somebody to talk with me. Because a box of Fruity Pebbles, I call them Putin's Pebbles. Because everything's Putin's fault.
Right.
$7.99.
Isn't that crazy?
Not even the family size or the mega size. Just a regular box. Yeah. And I talk to me like, oh, my God, this is awful. And that some people will join in. And how do people that are on a fixed income...
It's
and
ridiculous.
The elderly, how do they do it? I don't know. So Biden yesterday decided to drill, baby, drill. You know, now he's going back to being reliant on American oil. And he made this big pronouncement that for the next 6 months, every day, they're going to be releasing 1 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserves.
Now, let me ask you this. Are the Strategic Reserves for national emergencies or are they for failed and bad policy?
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. He's trying to save face for the midterms.
Yeah.
That is why he's doing it. But right now, we have 568 million barrels of oil in the petroleum reserves. But taking it out because of your bad policies, because he stopped drilling on federal land, and now he's demanding that you drill on federal land.
Well, and the problem is, and Jen Psaki will say that, you know, there's so many permits out there, but the oil companies just aren't drilling. And here's the thing. If you're and I hate it when people that, you know, when you're a corporation in America, you're supposed to make money, right? Isn't that what a capitalist society is all about? Yet every day I hear, you know, Biden and the administration saying that they're making too much money. Who decides who makes too much money? It's supply and demand. But when you get in office on the first day, you say, we're not going to do any new exploration and we're shutting down the pipeline. What do you think's going to happen? Oh, then you go buy electric cars. Well, you know how they make all the processes for the electric
cars
and the plastic?
Oil.
They need petroleum.
Well, a barrel of oil, half of it goes into things that are in this room. Everything is made from oil.
Right.
Every single thing, except for wood furniture. But if you have rubber bottoms on your wood furniture, that is made for oil. Here's President Biden making the announcement that things are going to get better. Help is on the way, folks.
Said from the start, Putin's war is imposing a cost on America and our allies and democracies around the world. Today, I want to talk about one aspect of Putin's war that affects and has real effects on the American people. Putin's price hike that Americans and our allies are feeling at the pump.
It's not Putin's price hike. It's Biden's poor management.
I didn't know that the United States of America was so dependent upon Russia for our goods and services.
We only tap into 8% of their oil.
Right.
That's it. Just 8%. And if it wasn't Putin, it's COVID. Wait for this.
When COVID struck, demand for oil plummeted.
It did, Uncle
Joe? So production
Joe?
Slowed down worldwide.
It did?
It's because of the strength and the speed of our recovery, demand for oil shot back up much faster than the supply. That's why the cost of gas began to rise last year. The second route is Vladimir Putin.
He can't help himself.
Yeah, I wonder, if you tell yourself this stuff over and over and over again, do you start to believe it? Isn't that, that's the pure sign of a psychopath.
Yeah, I'm trying to find where he talked about corporate greed. It's in here somewhere.
And they've indicated they will be producing an extra 1 million barrels of oil per day, probably starting as early as this fall. That's progress. But some
companies
have been pretty blunt. They don't want to increase supply because Putin's price hike means higher profits. One CEO even acknowledged that they don't care if the price of a barrel of oil goes to $200 a barrel.
Who said that?
They're not going to step up the production. I say enough. Enough of lavishing excessive profits on investors and payouts and buybacks when the American people are watching. The world is watching. U.S. oil companies made nearly $80 billion in profit last year. And this year, those profits are expected to continue to soar. This is the time, not the time, to sit on record profits. It's time to step up for the good of your country, the good of the world, to invest in immediate production that we need to respond to Vladimir Putin, to provide some relief for your customers, non-investors, and executives.
312-642-5600. Let's go to Dave in Wakanda. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, you know, this release of 1 million barrels a day is just a little dropper full. And how is that going to really even make a dent in our prices?
Like peeing in the ocean.
Well, they said, okay, so this is what they're predicting. In a few weeks, the cost is going to go down 10 to 35 cents a gallon.
That's it.
The most would be 35 cents.
Went down a penny overnight.
Whoa.
He's
already tapped into the petroleum reserves, right, and nothing really happened. It was just a few cents.
Yeah.
Well, he could thank Donald Trump for putting a lot of excess oil into those reserves when the prices were low when we were producing.
Yep. That's true. Remember when gas was $1.99?
Oh, I remember.
During the pandemic.
That's right.
Nobody was on the road. Yeah. Oh, that was so much.
I don't need to tell you guys this, but when we go, if we try to go to the all energy as far as the battery situation, mm-hmm, it takes an enormous amount of fossil fuels to mine this lithium and cobalt. That's one. And then two, when you have the preponderance of people using electricity, your grids are A, not going to handle it, and B, where do you think you get the energy to put into the battery to make the energy for your car? Fossil fuels or a coal-fired burning plant.
You know,
people don't understand this.
I feel bad for the for the tradesmen and women who are filling up a F-250, 350.
Oh.
You go to the pumps right now. If you're driving a diesel, it's just ridiculous. But like I drive a regular Ford Nifty 150.
How much does it cost you?
3-inch lift, 35-inch tires.
Oh,
it costs $140 to fill it up.
Oh.
Now, if I stop,
and how long does a tank last you?
Depends on how much my foot's into it.
Right.
Like that guy. I mean, he's just talking about gas prices. I heard him take off in the vehicle, and I could see his gas gauge going down. But it's amazing because it's condition and response. It's like getting in a shower when it's hot, and then you get used to it. You'll get used to these prices, and you'll have to pay because what else is your alternative?
Well, you're going to fight back. I mean, well, they know that they're losing votes. The Democratic Party is losing votes every day because of high gas prices and groceries.
And crime,
right. So we'll get to that because my neighborhood's on fire right now. But so this 100 million, or excuse me, 1 million barrels of oil a day is a bridge until American oil companies can produce more oil.
Yeah, because it's
and
their
that comes
fault.
A fall. No, but they have to get the pipelines. And they have to get the transportation in place, and they have to get the drilling equipment in place. There's 100,000 producing wells on federal land, and there's just 9,000 that are about to start production. But if they don't start production, Biden spoke yesterday of fining them. that we will fine you and put basically sanctions against your company until you start drilling. But all they've wanted to do is drill, and you stop them from drilling.
I have no problem with big companies making money. I have no problem with oil companies making money. But you can't, in your first day of office, say that you're gonna our regulations in this country, and I don't have to tell this audience this because you're smart people, but the regulations for doing business in states like Illinois and then in the oil industry we fool ourselves with how we're going to protect Mother Earth. I'm all about leaving something and passing it on down, but we are not the ones that are pillaging this land. It's other countries. We're pretty good citizens to the land, but you make it so hard for people to do business. Why do they want to do business?
Well, we should be doing business here than being reliant on Saudi Arabian oil and Russian oil. Just end it now. Here's Joe in Naperville. Hello, Joe. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Yeah,
thank you. Good morning. The only thing that brings down price is competition. It's historically been proven over and over again. Look at the price of a TV, what it came down to, or a VCR. Well, VCRs are obsolete. So why don't the government do this? Any new production of oil going forward for the next 10 years will not be taxed. How about that?
Yeah, it's an idea. Also, too, so many states are dropping or freezing their gas tax right now, and we could do that. But Governor Pritzker won't do it. He said he's going to do it. He's thinking about it, but there's nothing on the record.
I have family that lives in the far northern reaches of Wisconsin, and I go visit my folks all the time. I could stop in Madison, Wisconsin at the Fleet Farm, and I'm paying $3.49 for fuel. I paid $3.49 for fuel. This would have been on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I get to Chicagoland. It was a dollar more.
Yeah, because of our taxes.
Now, I've got a 30.
Because Pritzker doubled our.
Right.
He doubled our gas tax. And then in the city of Chicago, then you have 8 cents on top of that. And Mayor Lightfoot wants to reduce it to 5 cents. You think 3 cents is really going to.
Isn't it 3/10 of a cent?
No, gas tax, the city of Chicago gets 8 cents to every gallon that you pump. And she wants to reduce it to 5 cents. For a time. She knows she's losing the election, because she's Willie Wilson. I mean, he's going to be announcing April 11th that he's running for mayor, and she's got to compete. So then she gave this great gas giveaway yesterday.
There's some big names yet to throw their name into the ring for the mayor of Chicago. It's going to be interesting to see where it all falls.
I think we'll have 19 candidates.
Probably.
But some Chicagoans aren't on board with Mayor Lightfoot. They're on to her. Ah, they know she's buying votes.
Meaningless gesture. It feels so insignificant.
It's too little too late.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560 The Answer. America First with Sebastian Gorka today at 3, right before Sean Thompson at 4 on AM 560 The Answer.
Welcome back to Chicago's Morning Answer. Ray Stevens is here.
Good to be here this morning.
Ray, otherwise known as Ramblin' Ray, but I call you Ray Ray because I think that was your nickname that John gave you, right?
You know, a lot of people that love me call me Ray Ray. I think that's a term of endearment, so I'm cool with that.
Yay. Yeah. I love you, but I didn't love you enough to bring you a burrito.
I know. I'm like, man, it smells like food in here this morning. I'm in the adjacent studio, and boom. Everybody has a burrito, and I'm eating fresh blueberries like one of the Von Trapp kids.
Sorry there.
That's all right.
But you
I don't eat
healthy.
That way anyway.
That's what I figured. Yeah. See, I knew.
Yeah, you're smart.
Yeah,
thanks. Good try.
We're welcome back to the program now. Jim Urio, he's an analyst for Fox Business. And yesterday, Biden made this declarative statement, and that he's going to help us with our gas prices. We talked about this earlier, and tap into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. 1 billion barrels a day until the American gas companies can start producing their own oil. But could this have been avoided in the first place? Good morning, Jim, and welcome back.
Thank you, Amy. And the answer is going to be, this is going to be short anyway. Yes, it could have been avoided. Can I go or no?
Yep, you can go now. No.
Good joining. Good to have you join us this morning, man.
Talk to you guys. This is amazing. I don't know if you saw the piece I put out on social media a couple hours before the announcement was made. And the point I was trying to make, and it's an obvious point, is that I believe the situation dictates releasing the Strategic Petroleum Reserve between now and up to the first week of November. And that is sitting there because you know, it's for dire emergencies, obviously. That's what it's set up for. And if I was on that side of the aisle looking at an election where they're absolutely going to get trounced and all lose their jobs, I'd think it was a dire emergency, too. So this is – it was expected. It's idiotic. To put it in perspective, 2 years ago, we domestically used to produce 13 million barrels of oil a day, and now that's down to 11.5. For the first 8-9 months of his presidency, all they did was vilify big oil. All they did was threaten. They threatened to deny them financing. They were trying to bring a Fed governor in who was going to push denying oil companies financing, not limiting their access to credit markets. They wonder why they're not producing, and then they scratch their heads. And now the Putin thing, when he comes out and he keeps saying, you know, these price increases that are Vladimir Putin's fault. I mean, I believe if he says it about 10,000 times, he think it'll become true. And the sad part to me is that there is a lot of people who still believe this. And yes, it has had an impact on oil prices. But, you know, to think that that's the reason that oil prices are up is lunacy.
And some people, too, they really believe that they're doing their part, that this is their patriotic duty to pay more at the pump because of Putin, which makes me like George Tacky, he wrote, Americans, we have endured higher prices for food and gas, and we do that if it means putting the screws to Putin. Consider this a patriotic donation in the fight for freedom over tyranny.
So what is that? It's called mass formation psychosis. That's what that Dr. Malone called it. And it's amazing. I want to be able to convince people that it's their patriotic duty just to Venmo me money. Because if they can believe things like that, then this is an easy game to play, I guess. I guess I'm frustrated, obviously. I know that comes across. We're joking about it. But this is just amazing to me how all the things that we've said would happen when you increase the money supply by 40%, the Fed keeps rates at zero, the Fed keeps buying mortgage-backed bonds into the teeth of an extremely hot housing market even a year ago, and then they look at inflation and go, wow, too bad Putin caused this inflation. So this is – I used to think that the government waited for chaotic situations and tried to take advantage of them, and now I'm not convinced they don't intentionally create them themselves and then try to take advantage of them.
Jim, years ago, there was a visionary, a prophet. His name was Hank Williams, Jr. And he said, the interest is up and the stock market's down and you only get mugged if you go downtown. And in Chicago and in Illinois, that is the truth. And I wonder, Jim, in the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis, the attorney said, believe your eyes. And it worked, man. And I think that's all that Republicans need to do when we come up to these midterms is believe your eyes, believe your wallets, look what's going on with property taxes, things like that, what you're paying in crime. And I don't see how there's not a big red wave come November. I don't care how many barrels of oil you release.
I agree with you on that. Larry Kudlow calls it the cavalry coming in November. You were talking about Hank Williams. George Orwell says something similar where the government tells you to ignore what your eyes see and just believe what the state tells you. And that's more in a situation that's more likely right now. And that's the bomb part. The part of crime in the cities, that just baffles me. And I know I'm here to talk about that. That's something that's outside of my purview, but it seems to me to be an easy fix as well, too, if you have people police. But let's get back to economics.
Well, yeah, because we do need to talk about crime because the 44th Ward is blowing up right now. So one thing that Biden said yesterday that I was perplexed on is that, there's 9,000 permits that are about to start production on federal land. But he said, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. As in, like, we're going to fine you if you don't start drilling right away.
Okay, they're already, these permits already have hefty government payments on them. They already have to pay for not using them. It's mostly just rhetoric. But the thing that bothers me the most about it is, like, even let's just say that was a good thing for him to say, to show the oil industry that they are going to be encouraged. But even the way they say everything underlies this notion that they're in charge of everything. And if you don't think their attempt is to, at some point in time, nationalize the oil industry, you're not really paying attention, because some of them even have said it out loud. But the thing to do is to choke off supply and then be able to blame it on the oil industry, talk about how they're profiteers and price gouging and make them seem like a public nuisance. When, by the way, a public nuisance is the most asinine thing I've ever heard. It's oil we're talking about. It's the single most important things to our economy. These people I'm going to stop short of saying they're doing God's work, but they're selling something that everyone wants, and for some reason we've made them out to be the outlaw. I don't see how that even exists right now.
Well, how much savings are we talking? I mean, it's going to take a few days or a few weeks to kick in, this extra barrels of oil that we're getting to the tune of actually 180 million barrels before the gas companies can, you know, pump up their output.
So I'm about to compliment the administration in a second, which I hate to do, but fair is fair. But first of all, Goldman just released a thing saying that their projections for the price of oil in 2023 has gone up, not down, because of the release of the SPR. Every time that's happened in the past, it affects oil prices, you know, negatively in the short term, which I guess is positively for the economy, lowers them. But then it can create some problems, particularly when they have to restock it. But it also can create some logistical distribution problems on the short term that may discourage drilling that's going on. But the point is that the one thing they did right, see, oil is a market that it's highly manipulated, one of the most manipulated markets in the world, you know, OPEC, et cetera, et cetera. So if you are going to manipulate the price of a market, you wait for the price to start moving in your direction, in this case lower, before you announce something that's going to add on to that and increase the momentum. Does that make sense? Because it's a market position thing. So they actually did that. So like, okay, wow, so this is a year of seeing that you can't or won't do anything right. They actually did hit it at the right moment because oil was starting to go lower too. You know, there was the hint of a ceasefire a couple days ago that pushed crude lower. And when everybody's long crude, they start worrying about these headlines, and then you can push it lower and get better bang for your buck. And that's why we're below 100 right now.
My question would be this, is why is it when the price moves up, it would seem to me that the gas stations in America, boom, that price is reflected immediately. But now when you see it tick down a little bit, it seems to always lag a little. Is that just me being...
Yeah, I think if I owned the gas station, I'd have a hard time finding that little thing that changes the numbers up there on the sign. To be like, yeah, you know, we'll do that tomorrow. No, of course it is. And prices are always sticky downwards because you don't want to put yourself, as a small business owner myself, prices can come down. And if it's not 100% competitive market where there's gas stations lined up next to each other that you have to compete the guy next to you, you worry. You worry about prices going up again. So there is a good business model to delay to get more information before you lower it to be commensurate with the price of your input. So, I mean, I understand it. And these guys are all trying to stay in business. So when they're paying higher for gas, you better believe they can find that thing that changes the numbers quickly.
And you own a business. I don't know, Ray, if you know Jim Urio, he owns Brandt's, which has one of the best hamburgers ever, and tacos. It's in Palatine there. Have you had to raise your prices recently?
We have, yeah. Now, so our input costs have gone up, our supply costs have gone up between 18 and 20%. And for someone who's involved in macroeconomics like me, I didn't understand how broad the inputs are at a restaurant and how good a vision it is on inflation in general, because we're talking about energy and labor and food supplies. And they've gone up about 18, 20%. Labor's gone up. You know, they've, in the last 14 months, the state of Illinois has raised minimum wage on these small businesses that they had shut down for half the time. They've raised minimum wage twice. So everything's gone up. We've had to raise prices between 8 and 10%. I think our competitors have done a lot more than that based on the research I've done. But the reality of it is that we're at a price point where we're like, you know, considered an affordable luxury. And if things get bad, people will probably still come to Brands because it's not, you know, that high end. And, you know, as you know, there was a line out the door before we bought it. And so far we've done nothing to mess it up, so we're doing pretty good.
You know, we talked in Illinois about a minimum wage, and that's been a talking point for the Democrats and for states all over the union. But, you know, now with people not being able to find anybody to work, is the minimum wage still a factor? Because it certainly seems to me that people are paying a lot more than the minimum wage just to get people to show up.
Well, Target right now is
24
bucks an hour. Yeah.
Well, I know, because that's where I work when I'm not here.
Yeah, you guys saw those JOLTS numbers, the job opening numbers, where there's 11.3 million job openings. And the quit rate of people leaving jobs to go to other jobs is at almost an all-time high. And what that is an indication of, and this has broad implications. You brought up minimum wage. Minimum wage right now is only hurting places in the middle of Nebraska that, you know, when they start raising that, places that can't compete with urban areas. So it's completely asinine. But what we saw in the labor data for the last couple of days is that people are leaving jobs to make more money. The people who left jobs ended up getting a 6.6% increase in pay. The people who stayed at their jobs only got 5% increase in pay. Now, keep in mind, both of those numbers are still lagging inflation. So there's still some sort of recession going on as real income is going lower for seven straight months. But now here's where I hope to drag it all together, so everyone's not asleep now from this long diatribe.
Is
that once wages start going higher, and then the inflation is this wage push inflation or the wage price spiral, that's when we know it's not going away at all, when wages start pushing it higher. Because up to this point, it was monetary, it was supply chain, it was that dreaded Putin. But when it starts becoming a wage push inflation, that's when inflation could start to spiral even worse.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Jim Murio, analyst for Fox Business and the owner and proprietor of Brandt's in Palatine. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Nice to meet you, Ray.
Take care, bud.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
So where is President Putin? What is his state of mind? Yesterday, President Biden was asked about that because he's supposed to be isolating himself, apparently. And here's our president's answer.
That's an open question. There's a lot of speculation. But he seems to be, I'm not saying this with a certainty, he seems to be self-isolated. And there's some indication that he has fired or put under house arrest some of his advisors. But I don't want to put too much stock in that at this time because we don't have that much hard evidence.
Is it me? But I don't trust anything that he says, President Biden, or anything that comes out of that administration.
No.
I think this is just a ploy to work with him to distract from the fact that Biden said we would respond in kind if they use chemical weapons, which means we'll use chemical weapons, too. And then also, you know, what he said about Putin, that for God's sake, we have to get him out of office, a regime change.
Yeah. So then you just wait for the administration to walk back everything he said yesterday, today, like they do all the time, because this guy just, you know, he's got to stick to whatever they write down for him because he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I, you know, a lot of people like to pick on this guy and you know, take his mind and his ability.
Mental acuity.
You know, and my dad passed away from Alzheimer's, so I never like to poke any kind of fun or make light of somebody that's in decline. Biden is in decline. It's just you could see it by the way he walks into the room and you watch his feet. I mean, he's an old dude, and it's just, yeah. I mean, and I don't, trust me, I'm not an ageism kind of person. I think you can do a job no matter what age you are, but he's over his skis, man.
That voice belongs to Ray Stevens. He's filling in today for Dan Proft. Thanks for coming in.
Nobody can fill in for Dan. I'm just here trying to fill in for you.
And on Friday, we normally speak with Brett Baer. Brett Baer has a huge interview, and I kind of gave it away in the tease, and I shouldn't have done that. That's Journalism 101, and I messed up. But Brett joins us again. He's host, as you know, of Fox News Special Report and the number one best-selling author of To the Rescue, The Republic, Ulysses S. Grant, The Fragile Union, and The Crisis of 1876. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
So the big interview tonight is with?
President Zelensky of Ukraine. We tape it this afternoon and should be interesting. Have a lot of time with him to ask all kinds of questions about the war in Ukraine and what's next.
Well, before we ask what you're going to ask him, how did you secure that interview? Because that's a good get.
It took a lot of time. I dealt with the foreign minister of Ukraine. I've had him on the show. I've been in contact with people on the ground, and it just takes a lot of kind of handholding to get to that point, and finally we got it. So it was a teamwork effort.
So let's start, though, with President Biden and what he said yesterday, that Putin is in isolation. What do you make of that, and what are you hearing from your sources?
I think what he was saying was isolated from information and perhaps upset with his military leaders that it's going as poorly as it is for the Russian military. At least that's what we're getting from intel. Sometimes I agree with some of what you said, that you don't know what President Biden is saying and whether it comes from some briefing that he's just received and he shouldn't be saying, or he's just kind of spouting and they're going to have to walk that back. I think what he meant was Putin is isolated from information, not like in a bunker somewhere.
The voice you hear is that of Brett Baer, host of a Fox News special report. Brett, you talk about intel and what you have. My question is this. Yesterday, according to Fox, you guys had a lot of information on maybe some, you spoke to this earlier, maybe some of the operations not going the way Putin thought it would go. It's not as easy of a job as they thought it was going to be. Now there's reports that Russian troops are shooting down their own aircraft. Can you corroborate any of that?
Not the aircraft part, but they are they have destroyed some of their tanks, their own tanks. Soldiers have essentially really gotten depressed about being in the field and where they are. The morale is very shaky in different parts of the Russian military, and there have been some soldiers who've just left their post, some of them destroying some of the equipment. I don't know about the aircraft part, but what I do know is that Ukraine is pushing back in a number of places, and there are counteroffensives. In fact, just today, a Ukrainian helicopter attack went into Russia and took out a fuel depot across the border. So I don't think it's going as Russia planned.
And I think it's lasting a lot longer than a lot of Americans thought it would.
Well, I agree. And I don't think it's coming to an end unless Zelensky decides what the terms of a settlement are. And that's part of the questioning today.
Are you going to let him open up with some comedy tonight? I mean, is it, you know, it's this guy.
It's weird. I mean, are you watching his story on Netflix?
I haven't watched his story on Netflix, well, but his story is amazing as far as, you know, he was, he had a sitcom and people.
Well, he also won Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
He won that in Ukraine.
His rise to a political figure, it's not unlike one Donald Trump, because he, you know, he had a reality show and he kind of, you know, walked along the same lines. I look forward to it. It's just the guy is interesting to me.
Well, very interesting. And yeah, he stepped into this role. I mean, what young politician? He's younger than Kennedy was. He's younger than any U.S. politician who became president. He is somebody, as you're right, came from entertainment. So did Ronald Reagan, I suppose. But he stepped into this war role and is now talking to parliaments and lawmakers all over the world to try to get assistance, and doing it by catering to each speech, you know, talking about Churchill, talking about Pearl Harbor, talking about MLK, depending on what crowd he's talking to. It's pretty impressive. We'll see how he does today, but I'll ask a lot of questions about, hopefully, that we haven't heard before.
Well, you're going to ask him, and I know this is kind of a provocative question, but there were reports that I was reading that the Ukrainians are castrating Russian soldiers that they take into custody, like, that are prisoners of war. Is that a little too provocative to ask that question?
Yeah, I don't know where did you read that? Because I haven't seen that they're castrating Russian soldiers, but send it. I'll look at it. I wasn't on my list of asking Zelensky about castration, but
well, it's war. I mean, there are no rules in love and war, and it's, you know.
Well, there's a Geneva Convention.
Right, that's true too. But yeah, no, I'll send that article to you. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
It's, you know, there's a lot of things out there that, you know, it's not all roses with you know, Ukrainian leadership. And there are some things that they've been criticized for. For example, Zelensky taking down opposition parties as a matter of emergency and uniting all of the media, essentially, in Ukraine to one media outlet.
Yeah, that sounds like a Putin move to me, doesn't it?
So, I mean, those are all critical things, and those are things that probably in this interview will come up. But, you know, I think there are people who look at, you know, Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, you know, did something similar. It's not analogous, but if you look at Putin, he's doing shutting down media in Moscow to make sure that people don't see what's happening in Ukraine. And, you know, critics would say, why is Zelensky doing that in Ukraine?
You know, Zelensky seems to be a hero in some way, shape, or form now, but it wasn't always easy for him. When he was elected to office, there was a lot of pushback on him at the start. I mean, he had a rough start to this presidency, didn't he?
He did. And there's a lot of corruption in Ukraine. And there was. Whether they're cleaning it up now, we'll see. But it's one of the reasons why it took him so long to start the process with NATO, is that there was concern about corruption in the government. Now it seems like that's a negotiating ploy with Russia, but they're not going to join NATO.
What about, are you going to ask him about his relationship or possible relationship with Hunter Biden? Do those two know each other?
Don't know if they know each other, but we may go down that road. I don't want to say all my questions.
I know.
Where's the laptop?
Have you seen the laptop?
I need it.
All right, Brett Baer, it'll be on tonight. So you're recording it today, and it's going to air tonight on Special Report at 5 o'clock Chicago time.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you so much, Brett Baer. Anything else you want to tell us about? Anything you want to tease? Are you doing Sunday mornings this weekend or anytime soon?
Not this weekend. It's Martha McCallum this weekend, but part of this interview will air on that as well. We have 40 minutes with Zelensky, so we'll have a lot of time to delve into issues.
All right.
And I'll look into castration.
Okay. Thanks, Brett Baer. Always a pleasure having you on. Host of Fox News Special Report. You see him tonight at 5 o'clock. And also a best-selling author.
And a good line of hair.
Yes, he does. Thanks, Brett. And Brett joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
You want to know how out of touch politicians are? They tell homeless people to go home. You can't believe this one, but Maxine Waters was back in her district in Los Angeles, and she was supposedly talking about Section 8 housing near a homeless camp. And the crowd got pretty big because they misunderstood. They thought that they were handing out vouchers, so it was a bigger crowd than expected.
Vouchers, free gas, ice cream, all of that kind of stuff.
Have it all, have it all. And there was a confrontation that ensued.
I want everybody to go home. And I want
you. We don't got no home. That's why we're here. Miss Waters, can you home? We're going to go, too.
Just a moment. Just a moment. Nothing is going to happen here today. Nothing is going to happen anymore today.
So what about all these names?
What we going to do? That's why I'm here, and so I will be downtown with Lassom. I will get the housing authority. That's why they came out here today. I made them come out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going
to
go.
And you need to know why they're failing, because Blanca Jimenez repeated, we gave her several meeting requests for you concerning this in Lassa for years. And now that's
there's here. Nobody in Washington who works for their people in
she dropped the F-bomb.
I believe you. So can we finish though? Work with me.
No.
Work with me so we can house people. That's what I'm doing.
I do every day.
What do you do every day? I'm still on that damn
street.
The
money that you got.
She's 70 years old. She's passing out.
In Washington, D.C.
Okay, that's what we do. We vote. What's happening? I'm not
trying. That's hurt my ear.
Okay.
Wow. Man, my goodness.
So not only that. So that happened. Then she pulled a Mayor Lightfoot. She tried to get a reporter not to do the story. There's a columnist, Connor Sheets, who works for the Los Angeles Times. He called her office, you know, because he wanted to know information about the story. And she said, you'll hurt yourself in the community trying to put this together without background.
I think you have all the background from that Donnybrook we just heard.
I don't want you to start trying to write it. You won't understand it.
And I don't say Donnybrook very often.
I know, but that was very John Hollish. But again, she's minimizing the purpose of the reporter saying, and you won't understand it anyway, you white boy. So video of the scene was posted on Twitter, and you should see it because she does drop an F-bomb. She's like, no one works any blanking F-word harder than I do.
That's everybody's recourse all the time. It's like, well, I'm here helping you. You better know it. You better like what I do, and you better not speak out and against me.
One homeless disabled woman, Joyce Burnett, told the Los Angeles Times that she was having difficulty getting the answers she needed. That's why she attended. And she said Maxine Waters was here, and she said to come back Tuesday with our paperwork filled out. We don't know what she's talking about. What paperwork? So they're trying to get people that are homeless into Section 8 housing.
Go home to your tents, you people. Go home to wherever.
Go home.
Go to your bus. Go to the bus. The wind,
bus shelter.
Shelter. Go to the beach, wherever you are.
Well, in New York City, they're actually moving people. There's 150 homeless encampments in New York City.
New York City, I saw somebody on one of the subway trains had a tent up inside the train.
Yeah, so they're getting... because they have the broken windows policy. Right. Eric Adams is starting to move, and he started 2 days ago, starting to move, break down these homeless encampments. Mm-hmm. But what is Mayor Lightfoot doing? We have, so there's, if you guys drive ever by Irving Park and Lakeshore Drive.
It's a mess.
Then they bring in porta potties.
People have to somewhere to go.
I know, but that just encourages them.
Maybe that's for the homeless music fest.
That encourages them to stay. I mean, sure, I would love. I said, shoot, I didn't swear. I did not swear. I would love to live on Lakeshore Drive like that and wake up and say that, you know, especially in the summertime.
Grab a tent and go.
You can't. Seriously. And then so after you go, here's your little homework assignment. So after you drive by Irving Park in Ashland, and then he's got chairs out there and walkers. They have this. And now more of his friends are coming. Then you can go down to Belmont. Lakeshore Drive. There's another encampment there.
Hang out on the rocks with Keith.
Then you go from Belmont all the way up to Foster. And on the left-hand side, just start counting.
Yeah.
How many different homeless shelter, not homeless, tents that are popping up. And then, you know, of course, the Lawrence Bridge, you know, underneath the Lakeshore Drive on Lawrence, there's a huge homeless encampment there. And Mayor Daley, back in the day, he would get Engine 78.
Clean
to
it
go
up.
Out every night, hose it down. And if your tent was there and you were there, you were getting hosed down.
Too bad. Move your stuff and get it out of here.
But now everybody's, you know, politically incorrect. And I'm not, you know, I'm very compassionate to homeless people. I get it. But homeless people want to be homeless. I worked at a food pantry. We called it Tuesday Night Suppers at Catholic Charities for a year. I think I met every homeless person you can imagine. Great people, but they don't want.
They want to be left alone. They want to be free. Yeah. They want to be left alone. They want to live the way they live, and it's been like that on Lower Wacker forever. You know, they put the fences up down there to keep everybody out, and then now you know they'll sleep in any you know little space they can have, and there are porta potties all over down there. And I guess it beats the alternative.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Dun, dun, dun. Good morning, Amy Jacobson here. The sun is finally out. We are alive. We're back.
It is lovely. I have family in northern Wisconsin, Amy. I was there on Tuesday. There's still probably 2 feet of snow on the ground. They're still driving trucks on the ice for ice fishing, and I said, you know what, we're going back home. I was supposed to be in Cabo this week, but Marcus called, said, Amy needs you to fill in, so I stayed home for you.
Oh, look at that. Stevens here filling in for Dan Prof today. Dan's going to be back on Monday.
Actually, that's not true. My girl, who's not vaccinated, is not able to leave the country. So.
Oh, that's right. Well, and then also, too, you have to test positive to get back in. Yes. I mean, sorry, test negative, excuse me, to get back in the country.
So thanks to her.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, girlfriend.
No, you know what? I support that. You know, I'm all about that. She never gets sick. She lives. I mean, this chick she's the boss when it comes to eating clean, living healthy. She does everything right, man. And you want to see somebody get upset with the rules at her work that they have? You know, her insurance will pay for a transgender operation.
Really?
But she can't get breast implants, and that peeves her off.
Wow, this show just took a strange turn. But
no, it just shows the ridiculousness of the world we live in.
That's true.
But I just want you to know, I gave up Cabo for you, sister.
Thank you. Well, so does she have a vaccine mandate at her workplace, and could she get a religious exemption?
She was going to get the religious exemption. She's 100% work from home, and they said, no, you need to be vaccinated if you're going to work for this company.
But she works 100% at home.
100% from home.
And, it's just the madness. But the madness continues. I mean, we still have 2,000-plus Chicago police officers who are not vaccinated, who are slowly getting put on administrative leave because they're not vaccinated.
Right.
And somebody representing those people is Attorney Thomas DeVore. He's also a candidate for Illinois' Attorney General, and he joins us once again on our Turnkey.pro answer line. Good morning, Mr. DeVore. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So how many people, and nobody, no one in the mainstream media even talked about this. This was barely even covered that you're representing now. I mean, you've represented parents, CPS students, and students from all over the state. But now you're representing 250 city employees who are asking the judge to stop this Chicago vaccine mandate.
Correct.
So what? How did this happen, and how many clients do you have? Is it more than 250?
258 to be exact. Most of them Chicago police officers, several firefighters, and then a lot of employees from the other departments as well.
We live in a city that has a serious staffing issue when it comes to police and firemen, but mostly police. You know, the younger police are leaving for the suburbs. The older police are taking early retirement. They're checking out because they just can't take it anymore. It would seem to me that this is a huge
overreach
problem.
Of government.
Well, not only is it overreach, but it just doesn't make a bit of sense right now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I switched to my phone, so tell me that again.
No, I know how that happens. You get in your truck or your car.
Are you gassing up right now, Tom?
Sorry. Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, we have a serious problem staffing right now with vacating to the suburbs. We have policemen that are even close to retirement saying, we're done, we're out, we can't take it anymore. It would seem to me it would behoove the department or the city to try to have as many bodies as humanly possible.
You know, you're right, but there's something I've come to appreciate in the last 2 years, and I think it's something that most of us just don't want to accept, is that kind of rational thought is not what controls the decision-making of government, including the city of Chicago. They're not nearly sophisticated in the thought processes as what you just talked about here. They have a desire, because of whatever reason, that people need to be vaccinated. And they're going to push that agenda at all costs. They don't care about any of the things that you just said.
Well, you've got to put that seatbelt on.
Yeah.
Is it the seatbelt or is your door open, Tom?
It's the seatbelt. I just put it on.
Okay, put it on. Put it on. It's like, warning, Mr. Robinson. All right, so this vaccine mandate, obviously the numbers are, you know, falling. We're not even averaging one death a day in Chicago, which is good news. We don't 10 hospitalizations right now. 10. In the whole city of Chicago. Yet the mayor is insisting that these, you know, first responders and city employees get vaccinated. But to me, it's not about health and safety. It's about power and control.
That's all it's about. There's no other reason. This has nothing to do with health and safety whatsoever. And again, but I don't believe that our general population wants to have that conversation. They're always trying to look for some rational decision to think, well, maybe our elected officials, they misunderstand, or they're not looking at the right data, because they don't want to just say, this is just tyrannical behavior. There's nothing else going on here. People don't want to admit that to themselves, but it's really what the truth is.
So what's the next step for this case? When are you going before the judge?
Well, we're working on getting a hearing, because the mayor and the governor are playing games, trying to delay the case.
Course.
That's fine. But one of the things that people don't understand is that even right now, nothing is happening. This whole shill game that's going on with the mayor, I mean, even this documenting that people don't talk about. And what are we, the third or fourth biggest city in the United States? And the document that they're trying to call a vaccination policy is an absolute nothing. It's just a piece of paper that could just as well be a napkin. It doesn't have any legal impact whatsoever, but yet people are following along with it. I mean, I can't believe that conversation is not happening in the city, because nobody in the city adopted that document. The city council didn't adopt it.
Oh, I see.
The mayor didn't even have her name on it. Nobody has their name on this document.
Well, what about the health department? Are they on that document?
No.
They're not even on
that document. Nobody is on the document. That document, from a legal perspective, could just as well be a blank piece of paper. But yet they're trying to convince every citizen that works for the city that they have to follow it. And it is 10 times more egregious than anything Governor Pritzker ever did in the last 2 years I've been fighting with him. That piece of paper is absolutely nothing. And nobody's talking about that. It's unbelievable to me.
Well, he's 100% in, because I went to a press conference of his about a week and a half ago, and he said, no, they need to get vaccinated. It's up to, you know, it's not my call, but if, you know, the mayor of a municipality or of a city wants that everyone to be vaccinated, then that has to happen. So how many people do you know of have seeked, can you seek a religious exemption or a medical exemption, or do you have to get vaccinated?
What do you mean? In the city?
Yeah, I'm saying with city employees, if you're a firefighter or a Chicago cop, you're not going to get vaccinated. Could you go the religious exemption route or the medical exemption route?
I mean, but again, is it something that they offer? Yeah, you have to be vaccinated unless you get an exemption, according to them. But when people have that conversation, Amy, they've already gone past and just accepting that what's going on has any legitimacy whatsoever, right? I mean, you have to say, well, I'm going to apply for an exemption. By merely saying I'm going to go down that path, you're acknowledging that I have to do something in the first place, right?
Right.
I mean, you asked the question the other day, and the mayor completely disregarded the question. Whose document is this? And under what authority has it been issued? She couldn't answer the question because the fact of the matter is nobody did anything. And you could, the people of Chicago can make that document go away in a day if they'll just stand up and ask the right questions instead of just being so concerned about, well, what if I don't follow this, if I don't do this? I mean, your aldermen of your city are paralyzed for some reason or another, and they're allowing the mayor to 100% engage in tyranny. It's not even 99%. You could have said before, well, the governor is 99.9% engaging in tyranny. With your mayor, it's 100%. There's no question about it whatsoever, and nobody's talking about it.
Well, they needed 19 aldermen to show up to that special meeting, and only 11 did. Lopez was one of them. Brendan Riley was
right.
One of them.
All the ones you would expect.
All the ones, well, yeah, that, you know, believe in medical freedoms. And don't, you know, this is not the time for the city of Chicago to be putting any Chicago police officers on furlough. I mean, look, at yesterday we had a 72-year-old Naperville woman walking down the street with her niece and the grandniece in the buggy, and she gets shot in the leg broad daylight on Broadview and Briar. I mean, this is just not the time.
But ask yourself this, too. You keep talking about the, you know, the officers, et cetera. It's all, not only is their document completely illegal and a nothing, it's all a big ruse because the letters that they send that you got to test if you're got an exemption, otherwise you got to vaccinate. They're not even doing that anymore right now.
Oh, they're not?
There's this big fear out here in the community. I got to do this. But since I filed, and it was even before I filed the case, but I can't speak in detail to that because I wasn't involved. But right now, since I've been representing my clients, nobody's getting the fear-mongering letters anymore.
Huh.
It's not even happening.
Let me ask you this from a counselor's point of view. Or since it should be a high visibility case. 250 city employees want to stop the vaccine mandate. Has this had your phone ringing from people that work for private firms that have been told that, you know, you must vaccinate or you're getting your walking papers? Because it seems to me as we go farther and farther down this path and we get a little bit removed from, you know, the Dracaean lockdowns we had, that there's going to be some pushback from private citizens as well. There has to be.
It is, but you're not going to, and again, it's another thing that people don't want to acknowledge. They just don't want to acknowledge it because, it's almost like there's this naivety that they can't think past. Is the reason it's not being reported in Chicago is because those in control of the media don't want this conversation happening amongst the people.
Right.
And the mayor's in control of all of that with her political influence. You have not seen one article anywhere of any significance about this lawsuit.
Nope.
Because they don't want people talking about it.
And they don't want people joining it. And also,
they don't want people asking the question, Amy, of, wait a second, what do you mean this document was never authorized by anybody in the government? It's a separate question.
I tried.
I know you tried, but it's a separate question of, does the mayor have the authority? Does the health department have the authority? Does the city council have the authority? You don't even get to that question in this case because nobody's name is on this document. If you read it, nobody's name is on it. Nobody signed it. It doesn't say, I have showed this document. I don't even call it a policy. I've showed it to lawyers who are my friends that are talented people, and they start laughing in disbelief that it happened in the city of Chicago, and not one lawyer in the city, not one public official, nobody says, wait a second, what the heck is this thing? And you know what happened? If you talk to my clients,
what?
some of the rank-and-file police officers and firefighters, said Tom. When this document came out last year, we asked that question. Not as articulately as you did, because we're not lawyers. We asked the union leadership the question, what is this document? It doesn't have anybody's name on it. What is, we don't understand it. Who's authorizing it? And you know what? The unions, no disrespect to the union leadership, none of them asked that question either.
So Chicago, man.
So here, real quick, because I know we got to let you on with your busy day. You are running for office, Attorney General, in case you didn't know. Right this morning, 753 perfectly healthy Chicago public school students are not allowed into government buildings because they were around somebody who has COVID and they're not vaccinated. When is that madness going to stop?
When the people say that they've had enough. It only stops when people finally say we've had enough. This whole issue that we're dealing with, this whole COVID madness, let's call it, it's not the end of it. Even if miraculously tomorrow the whole COVID thing went away, it's going to be something else in the very near future. Amy, it's going to be something else. Yes. And it will continue, it'll continue until people say no. The only difference between states like Illinois and states like Florida or states like Texas that don't deal with these things is the people won't stand for it. They won't stand
but
for
it. But are schools in Illinois still testing? I mean, my niece goes to Lincoln College, which they announced yesterday they're closing after 157 years. But they still have to test every 3 days. And so do they still have to at University of Illinois. Why is this continuing?
But when you say why, I always go back to what I told you before. Yeah. You're trying to rationalize some reason that would make sense to you of why this is happening versus merely accepting that these people making these decisions are engaging in tyrannical behavior. The people don't want to ever admit that that's what's going on. This is America. Why could we be talking about people doing this thing? Because they're forcing their ideals and their beliefs on people, and there's no logical, you know, legitimate or even illegitimate reason of why it's going on. You don't want to have that conversation in your mind. But no, most of the places in the state of Illinois aren't doing what you're talking about. Most of them don't. But in the area of the state you guys are in, a lot of that's still going on. Chicago Public School System is the only school system left in the state playing these games that they're playing with children, et cetera. We're still working on it, but they're the only ones left.
I know, quarantining and testing and contact tracing. It's full court press.
My body, my choice when it fits my narrative.
Right. Yeah. Not anymore. All right, Thomas DeVore, we're going to have to leave it there. And where can people find out more information about your candidacy? Again, he's running for Illinois Attorney General.
TomDeVore.com.
All right, Tom DeVore, always a pleasure. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Good Friday morning. The sun is finally shining. The rain is gone for now. Amy Jacobson here. Ray Stevens filling in for Dan Proft. Dan will be back on Monday, so thanks for coming in.
How you doing?
How you doing? And you brought this to my attention. You want to set this up here? Dr. Fauci, this is a way back time machine.
Yeah, this is interesting how the world kind of writes itself and comes around, we've been told that we need to vaccinate, get a booster for your booster. You need to do this.
You got a booster, the booster.
I'm Fauci. You don't want to listen to me. You're going to die. And that's all there is to it. And I don't want you to die, but you're going to die. But he was talking. I forget the newscaster's name, but he's one of the big shots. This is some years ago, and they're talking about this anchor whose wife, she's got the flu. She's been sick for 14 days. Does she need to get a shot? And there you go.
But she's had the flu for 14 days. Should she get a flu shot?
Well, no. If she got the flu for 14 days, she's as protected as anybody can be, because the best vaccination is to get infected yourself.
And if she really has the flu,
she definitely doesn't need a flu vaccine.
Should not get it again.
She doesn't need it because it's the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
But natural immunity out of the conversation when it comes to COVID.
But, you know, now you've got the new BA2 variant, and I'm not sure if that's a band that's playing Lollapalooza or if that's actually the new variant.
Hey-o.
But that would be something Keith Conrad, or, you know.
Yeah.
Who is helping produce the show this morning. But,
yeah,
you know, there's so many different,
variants
of the flu. And you have to keep getting boosted and shots and boosted. And I'm like, nah, man.
Well, when the news came out this week that the FDA approved a fourth booster for people 50 and over, that's when I'm like, I'm done. My dance card is almost full.
Yeah, I saw your card there.
Yeah, you saw it. So yeah.
I also saw some crazy videos of you as well.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you were so COVID crazy.
Oh, it was a mental illness.
But if you don't want to talk about that, we'll continue talking about the Fauci.
Yeah, but no. I had a Tyvek suit. I had the gloves. I would sanitize the gloves, which Justin has a picture of me.
You had
a
Tyvek suit.
Yes.
Tyvek suit, the stuff they wrap houses with.
It's a DuPont Tyvek suit.
Yeah, Tyvek is what they use.
You were the hazardous materials you
wear
that.
Well, they use Tyvek to wrap houses. Right. That's how you keep them, you know, airtight. But you were wearing one of those?
Let's just say.
What the hell is wrong with you? When did you turn the corner? Because I see you at all these press conferences yelling at the mayor.
I turned the corner. Yeah, and the governor. I turned the corner when I left and went to Utah, and I would talk to my very dear friend who works at Rush Hospital, who was saying, Amy, you stop.
Right.
The people that are here are they're sickly, they're elderly, they never took care of themselves
ever. Do you have any health
issues
I don't know about?
No.
Because I remember riding along the lakefront with you one time. Mm-hmm. We were on our bicycles. We're at a warp speed pace.
Was it
remember
the Century
this?
Ride?
I think it was like a 70-miler we rode to Wrigley. We took in a Cubs game. We were riding with the Ricketts.
Oh, my God.
And you and I, and
I love cycling.
I was just impressed with what a baller you were on a bike, you know. And I'm sending pictures to my buddy. Hey, I'm riding with Amy J. But you know, I know you're healthy, so why would you let it worry you that much?
Because I was watching. I was sitting where you were sitting, and I was watching videos from China, and people squirming around in body bags, and then the government coming and locking the doors to high rises, not letting people out because they want zero COVID, which is not going to happen.
Yeah,
then I went to Utah, and Governor Herbert was very, like, it was 2 weeks. When they said 2 weeks, it was 2 weeks.
Right.
But they're still, you know, they have a ban on mask wearing, the governor, so you can't force people to wear masks at schools. And they're just very reasonable people, and I realized I can't live like this.
It's amazing.
'Cause I don't need you. I was brainwashed for a while.
It's amazing to me how quick everybody turned on each other. You either believed in it or you didn't. There was no middle ground. If you were from Chicago and you, let's face it, Wisconsin hates Chicago anyway. They hate Illinoisans anyway. They call us fibs, blanking Illinois blanks.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were up north, and again, I have a place up north, and if I was up there, I had people telling me to go home. I'm a taxpayer.
Yeah.
I have a place up there. Go, don't tell me what to do. But we were fighting with everybody, but now we're all united and standing united for Ukraine. You know, this country is so full of crap, it just amazes me.
It does. And what we're continuing with this COVID craziness is the forcing of masks on people two and older on airplanes and trains. At Heathrow Airport right now?
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
It's your choice. British Airways, SAS, all those, you know, Scandinavian airlines. No, you do not have to wear a mask at all. You can if you want to. They have choice there, which we don't. And madness was supposed to end, but it got pushed back to April 18th. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to dig themselves out of the hole that they buried them in. And with more on that, let's invite back to the program Carol Markowitz. She's columnist for the New York Post and contributor to The Spectator. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I hope you're enjoying our conversation because we want you to join it now. And I don't know if Ray knows this, but she actually moved. She's a mother of a few kids, and she moved from New York to Florida during the pandemic. Do you regretted all that decision, Carol?
The only thing I regret is not doing it sooner. I think that, you know, I wish we had the foresight to either do it in the beginning of the pandemic or perhaps even, you know, years ago, because living in a free state has been amazing and really eye-opening how much we lost, especially during the pandemic, especially for my kids during the pandemic, and how much we can really never regain, but now we're somewhere sane and good, and I wish everybody had this.
Yeah, I just want to give, you know, I know the signal of this radio station and with the technology we have now covers a lot of areas, and I would like to say, you said something that piqued my interest, living in a free state. You know, I think that when people look at Illinois, and since we're from here, I think we tend to just think of it as Chicago, And it's like this. And I'm here to tell you that once you get downstate and once you get 50 miles west of here, it's not like it to the east. It's pretty normal. Just like when you go to Wisconsin and Indiana, you know, the mandates might be there. They might want you to wear a mask. But I'm telling you, for the life of me, people in southern Illinois, they live their lives. This has a lot to do with the city of Chicago, per se.
Yeah. You know, I agree with that, except what I've learned is that the governors of our states have so much more power than we've ever imagined.
I
had you asked me 2+ years ago how much control or how much say does your New York governor have over your life, I would have said, well, not that much. You know, I'm much more affected by my more local politicians, by my mayor, by my city council people. But what I learned is that the governor has a lot of power. And so having a governor in Florida that I trust to be sane. So, for example, I can absolutely see that we're going to have another COVID spike, maybe in the South in the summer, and then again back in the Northeast in the fall, just like we have for the last 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But so in New York, they're like, oh, we've lifted the mandates. Everything is fine now. Like, don't you feel silly that you moved away, you know, for a temporary problem? But for me, I trust that my governor is not going to reinstate masking in schools. I trust that my governor is not going to close businesses. Can my New York friends say the same? And I don't know in Illinois if the people you're talking about who live sort of freer lives, if they can trust their governor to not have an effect on their lives. That's really what I'm talking about.
And it's not so much
state I feel freer.
Yeah. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I'm so upset about this. I never knew how much power our Illinois Department of Public Health director has, or our Chicago public health director, because they're the ones, you know, giving advice and counsel to our politicians, and what they say goes. So they actually have more power to me than our mayor and our governor.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knew, right?
You got to listen to him. You got to listen to him. You got to follow the science.
Oh, yeah. That if I hear that one more time, I'm going to vomit.
Right. But now, the fact that we never really listened to the CDC before. The CDC, for example, recommends that you eat your burgers well done, that you never eat sushi, that you consume no more than like 2 drinks per week. I mean, we never listened to any of this before. But suddenly their word became gospel. It became impossible to ignore the CDC. What kind of science denier are you? And yet, you know, we had never treated their words as law before. So again, it's about trust, and I trust my governor now.
But Carol, my favorite CDC recommendation of all time, because I read that same list, you should never kiss your dog's face. How about we all kiss and hug our dogs, right? Ray, don't you?
I do, and
I mean, not with the tongue. I'm just saying because you're like,
I'm full on tongue. I do the whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
No, but I'm just saying that's another stupid CDC recommendation, and I'm just wondering, is Dr. Fauci ever going to retire, Carol?
I don't think so. I think he has enjoyed so much being in the spotlight. He has been uniquely terrible here. It's amazing to me that people hold him up as some sort of anything, a really scientific like expert. Every time he's on TV, he ends up contradicting something he recently said. He has been just, even if you see him as sort of a neutral, not an, you know, evil or good or anything, he has been terrible at his job of communicating to the American people what they should be doing. He's often hysterical. He often says things like, we should prepare for the worst. Like, how does an average person prepare for the worst? So what do? You hide in your basement?
Yeah. Aren't we supposed to be coming out of the winter of death and darkness? Isn't that what this was called?
Biden called it
the winter of death and darkness and despair and everything else.
And then I remember last fall, or was it the fall before, he said, please, Americans, just wear a mask for 100 days. Mm-hmm. Remember that? When he was begging us, you know, I don't want to mandate it, but I want you to wear a mask. And then we all went back to wearing masks, at least if you lived in a Democratic state. But Republican attorney generals and governors, 21 so far, including Indiana and Florida, are suing the federal government because they want masks off public transportation, airplanes, and trains.
Right, because why not? Why are those the remaining places that you must mask up? It makes no sense. We're all together, you know, in other spaces, but when we get on transportation, suddenly it becomes deeply unsafe. And just like everything else around the pandemic, it has made no scientific sense, absolutely none. And that's what makes people really tune the health officials out. And this is going to be dangerous going forward.
You know, it's ridiculous because, there's so much divisiveness. You know, I don't know how this became a right and left issue, but it did. And then, you know, Biden said, don't make it a right and left issue. But he is the one that did that. My daughter was a flight attendant for a major airline carrier, and she had a great job flying to some of the best destinations in the world.
Really?
And the minute you put masks on people, she quit the day she saw a fellow flight attendant, a female, get hit in the face by another guy because he was so amped up about wearing his mask and not wanting to wear it. And it changed the way people behave because people, it's bad enough to fly anyway. You know, public transportation, the problem, the public, but it just made it worse. and you know, it's got to stop.
Well, I want to add something into that. What I think, too, really made people unhinged on planes, they stopped selling booze.
Yeah.
And I know. No, I'm not kidding. No, that is like a sedative for a lot of people who are anxious to travel. And it just makes them, you know, sit down, shut up. But they couldn't even get that. And I swear, that's my own hypothesis. But I think, and I don't, American Airlines still, nope. Well, you can't drink unless you're in first class. Southwest brought it back. Spirit Airlines brought it back. But it's just so ridiculous to me that they're, you know, denying that.
That's your new platform. That's your new platform. Enough about, you know, yelling at the mayor and the governor and going to the, now you got to get drinks back on planes.
So, Carol, do you think that this federal lawsuit's going to be successful at all, or we're just going to have to wait this out? And what do you think they're going to do April 18th? I mean, today's April 1st. They've got 17 days to decide what they're going to do. Are they going to be like European countries, like Heathrow Airport, no masks, or it's optional? Or are we going to still just wear them in perpetuity?
I don't know. It's so hard to say because sometimes they, you know, listen to kind of public opinion, which is also not the best way forward. I think that they need to be following science, which says that these masks are pointless and we shouldn't be wearing them because they make no sense scientifically. But what ends up happening is that they're pressured by the public who feels a certain way about masking. Maybe the case numbers are low right now. So the public is like, okay, maybe we could take off our masks. But when the cases get high, the public ends up in blue places, ends up demanding masks to come back. So it's really tough to say which way the wind is going to blow by April 18th, because there are, you know, kind of little spikes in places right now. And I don't know who's in their ear pressuring them to keep these masks on. I think really what we need to face is the whole concept that masking is pointless. And that might help us in the future when we have future COVID spikes, not returning to a measure that has never worked. And I'd love to see that, but obviously we live in a crazy time.
And I've tried. I mean, I have 150 plus studies in my car right now about the inefficiencies of masks. And I've tried to present them to the governor and the mayor, and they will not have it. They'll just, you know, generically say, you know, Google it. Masks work.
You don't
but
do
all
any.
Of our all of our unmasked neighboring states, if you look at the data, we all went through the same bump up and down. Our death rates were the same. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin's was a little higher because they have a higher obesity rate. Yeah. Sorry, Ray, but they do. Mm-hmm. Because he has a home in Wisconsin. But if you look at Indiana, Iowa even fared better, and they have been unmasked since 2021.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, but no one cares to look at that.
It hasn't worked anywhere. Yeah, and shouldn't they be presenting a study that definitively shows that masking does work? Why do we have to present the studies that show it doesn't?
You know, I love you. That's so true.
Isn't it on them to say, you know, here's a study where masking has worked?
I never pretend to know what somebody's going through, whether they have an ailment, whether they have cancer, whether they have to wear a mask. However, you know, and I'm never going to begrudge somebody wearing one, but don't tell me that I have to. You do you, I'll do me. We seem to have gotten away from that.
Right, but the concern with that is that I saw during the winter spike in New York City, friends who were like COVID positive and out in supermarkets and saying, well, I'm masked, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Masks don't work.
No, because if we don't face that masks don't work, we have people relying on them foolishly. And, you know, I've even read stories where people didn't get vaccinated because they were like, well, I wore my mask and then, you know, had a poor outcome.
Oh,
we can't have that. We have to have people face the reality of what masking is and how it has been completely ineffective.
Well, in Chicago, we're still full on masking. I was just happy that my barista went from 2 to 1 mask.
That's progress.
Well, and then also, too, I don't have the ability to shut my mouth. I wish that I did. But when I go to yoga and I go to Core Power and the lady next to me has a mask on, I move my mat because I'm thinking, she must be sick. Are you sick? Is there something wrong with you? You know, then I run. Now I'm running away from people with masks because it's like, well, I don't want to get sick. I want to, you know, finish coaching the season. So, all right, Carol Markowitz, thank you so much for joining us. Columnist for the New York Post, contributor to The Spectator, and she moved her family from New York to free Florida, and she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Open mic. Open mic Friday. Calling now. Open mic Friday.
All right, grab a line, 312-642-5600. If you can't get through, keep trying because we'll eventually get to your phone call. But I want to start with Ray Stevens, who's filling in today for Dan Proft. You have a story about Pritzker's Farm.
Well, my one of my dear friends, one of my best guys, one of my ride or dies, his folks own a piece of property adjacent to the Pritzker working farm.
Oh, that's right, because remember they had to be, they were in Wisconsin because they
working
had to
farm.
Till the soil.
Yeah, you got to get your hands dirty.
Yeah, because I'm sure MK's out there and the kids are, you know, milking the cows.
And they
too.
All go by their initials. I found this out. So the farm was actually my buddy's grandfather's farm.
Oh.
And I was swore never to talk about this. But since then, my friend's dad has died, so I feel like it's
all bets are off. Okay.
So I'm next door. This is now 2 years ago, and I'm helping my friend's dad and him cut up wood. We're working chainsaws. I'm wearing Carhartts. I look like an everyday ordinary Joe, which I am. And I'm out there running the saw. We're running the splitter. We're stacking wood.
Yeah.
And my buddy's dad says, "Hey, would you like to go over and see the Pritzker place?" He goes, "That's where I grew up." He goes, the farm that I grew up on is still there. That's where the help stays." So we go over there in his John Deere Gator, and I am a mess. I got a bandana on my head. I look like Hell's Angel. And we're out there looking around, and I'm looking at all this working farm where I'm told that the stainless steel work in the chicken coop is north of $750,000. This chicken coop.
They have a chicken coop?
This chicken coop is nicer than the house that any of us live in, even Dan.
Wow.
I'm telling you. And the farm is beautiful. The horses, the studs and the mares, I mean, it's like something out of a movie.
Really?
And I'm just, you know, I've been around some money before, but not like this. This was elephant.
Well, that's one of his many houses.
Yes.
And then he's got one in Lake Geneva? Or is that the same one?
Yeah, that's the one on the lake.
Okay.
Where somehow we have this parallel crazy universe because his peer is actually not on his own property. It's on a friend of mine's property. It's nuts.
Wow. So he has a house in Lake Geneva, then this one. I know he's got the one in Florida, the $12.5 million place, which is fine. I mean, not his fault that he has money.
That's right.
Don't get them out. Just don't send your family to a state that's free and then tell my kids what to do.
Get your money the old-fashioned way. Inherit it.
All right. So how did you get kicked off the farm or what happened?
So we're in this guy, he's an older man. This is his land. There's a hole in the gate so they can get back and forth because they like this guy. So somehow I get recognized, and here comes a golf cart flying over, and it was MK, and I think maybe the chief of staff, and I thought they were.
Was it a woman or a man?
Woman.
Oh, was it Jordan Abadayu?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just a construction guy cutting wood next door.
Yeah.
Look like a Hell's Angel.
Yeah.
So they say to Steve, and he's like, hi, how are you doing, MK? And she says to him immediately, this is no joke, did your cat get lost again, Steve? And he goes, no, I was just showing my friend Ray Stevens the property. She goes, yeah, we'd like it if Ray Stevens is never back on this property again. And you're going to have to let us know if you ever want to be back on here again. They knew who I was somehow. They had an encoder. And they're like, here's a guy that's generally considered a conservative talk show host. And I was not welcome. But I did get a chance to see a chicken coop that is nicer than any house that most of you peasants are living in.
Really?
Yeah. I live in a house where if the sun gets too hot, the siding melts.
Yeah.
And here I am in envy of chickens. I had chicken envy.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Oh, let's start with the Amish texter.
Okay.
He rarely calls in. Good morning. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Ray. I haven't talked to you before.
Hey, brother.
But anyways, didn't I hear you guys talking about Mayor Tripod Threat is considering giving us first serve something like, you like that, huh? Something like a 3 cent per gallon tax cut?
Yeah.
Now, what do Chicago moron voters suggest I do with all that money? Considering the only businesses that they've actually created in the last 5 years, I think, are online or video gaming cafes. I think they're like five per like strip mall.
Right.
And then should I spend it there or should I spend it at the weed dispensary?
Well, I don't know. I mean, also too, fill out the paperwork for that $150 gas gift card that could be used at any station.
Oh, but my farm is not within the city limits.
Oh, then you can't play. You have to listen to this. You have to have a valid city sticker, so that's a way to get you to cough up more money and to be compliant.
And I haven't gotten the Fauci ouchie jab either.
I don't know. That's not on the application
yet. What
the
hell kind of man are you? Well, you're Amish. You're the Amish Texan.
Yeah, he's Amish Texan. Calling in on the tin can and string.
I got natural immunity.
Oh, that's right.
I beat all you guys English. Okay.
By the way, this show rated number one by the Amish Radio Review.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's get this. Oh, Bob in Buffalo Grove. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Always good talking to you. And for you, Ray. Good to hear you. I don't know if you remember, but we met years ago at the White Sox game with Big John.
I remember it was yesterday.
But now for the both of you, let me offer the sorry state of American journalism. When might a reporter offer a real pointed question to Democratic leaders like Biden, Pelosi, a host of others? And what about this? When might a Republican leader turn the tables and offer a simple question to the fake news personalities like Chucky Toad, Leslie Stahl, and a few others? And here's my simple question. Do you think the media-spun narrative by withholding the Hunter laptop story effectively protecting Biden in the 2020 election?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear the responses.
All right. Thanks, Bob. So Bob doesn't know, but Bob was on the Munchkin line that comes out every once in a while. And their races are higher. But it's a good question.
Well, I missed the whole question, and maybe you heard it better than I did, but I heard he said he wanted to go hunting with me and get a lap dance?
No. He said he went to a White Sox game with you with Big John Hull.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the Hunter Biden story. Now more outlets. And even Nightly News last night.
Yeah.
Because it's like A, B, C, D.
Right.
In the D segment last night was actually coming around to the, they actually did a Hunter Biden laptop story.
And talked
about tax evasion, that he failed to report $400K in earnings. And I was very surprised.
It is amazing.
They just snuck it in there.
Well, you know what? Now I don't think it's going away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's going to get back.
And then if there's true information, or if their information is true about him and his 14-year-old niece, because remember, he married his former sister-in-law, he married his brother's widow and moved in with them, and she has younger girls, and he just did horrible. I mean,
it's like that old,
I don't know what he did with a 14-year-old, if anything, but her name popped up, and so there's got to be something there.
It was interesting to watch Getz the other day on Capitol Hill get him to put the Hunter laptop to get that on record. That was a good move.
We played that riveting audio yesterday.
Over and over again, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. All right, let's go to Rick in Downers Grove. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I got a couple things about the COVID thing. I remember back when it first came out, and they had that study, 2.4 million Americans will die in the first year.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first red flag. And then about a month into it, I realized this is a con job. And then people that I know are like, well, how do you explain the 800 and some thousand have died? I go, well, if you take out the people who killed themselves or died in a car crash, but were put down as COVID death, you could probably cut it in half. And then still, to this day, I see people driving in their car with a mask on or walking by themselves with a mask on and in the store with a mask on. And my first thought is maybe they got issues. But if they don't have issues, then they definitely have issues.
That's clear as mud.
Yeah, I knew it was all a hoax when Dr. Awardi, because my friend's mom died from pancreatic cancer. She was in hospice. Once you're in hospice, you don't get out of hospice.
Right.
That's your driveway home to heaven. And they put her down as a COVID death. And we brought it up to Dr. Nzeki, and that went viral. Her saying, yes, even at the time of death, even if you didn't die from COVID, but you died with COVID, that's considered a COVID death. And that went right there. And then I know somebody who owns a funeral home and said everything was COVID. An 85-year-old man drops dead in his house, lives alone, COVID.
Yeah, and you, I mean,
and he didn't, but
that's the thing is that people, and you know, to his point, how do you explain all the deaths? We can manipulate numbers however we want. If you still look at the average number of morbidity rates in Illinois in the state between 2017 and 29, between 2017 and now, you'll see that the leading death isn't COVID. It's still heart disease and lung disease and cancer. And you will also see that the numbers are not that far off than before. So where they come up with the 800,000 numbers and things like that, I really don't know.
Well, people don't realize you can't stop people from dying. Even before COVID happened, 300 people a day died in Illinois. Nationally, it's anywhere between 7,000 to 8,000 people a day die in Illinois.
Best thing you can do for your health today is to push away. Push away from the refrigerator.
Push away from the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yep.
And work out, even if that means, you know, walking.
Take a walk.
For 15 minutes. Yeah. Honestly, that if you do that, that'll start your exercise program.
Gina always walks in front of me. Usually she wears something scantily clad and a ho-ho. And I'm like, I'm following that.
Frank in East Chicago, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Dan and Amy, great show. Is there, by any chance, can you guys get Sean Thompson to be a guest host in the morning? And then I have a question for Ray Stevens.
Yes, sir.
All right. Weren't you on US 99?
I was on US 99 for a couple, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and you were a big Obama sycophant, were you?
Are you out of your mind? What's wrong with you?
Frank, you're just calling in to be mean. We're having a big fun Friday.
You might be thinking about my old partner, Lisa Dent, actually.
Oh, she was,
yeah,
but not you.
Yeah, no.
Did you guys even talk about politics, though?
Not much, but yeah, no. Sorry, dude, you're never going to paint me as an Obama sycophant.
Yeah,
look at the record.
All right, John and Mundelein. Hi, John. We're having fun here.
Oh, you guys are super fun as always. Listen, I know you're supposed to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop now because, of course, now we know that in addition to lying about vote fraud and pressuring Pence to overturn the Electoral College and plotting to seize voting machines from battleground states and pressuring the Secretary of State in Georgia to overturn the election there, we now know that there's an 8-hour gap in Trump's phone log from January 6th. So there's really no surprise that you guys are desperately devoted to focusing once again on Hunter's laptop. But I'm just let me know when you guys want to talk about the really big story of a president trying to overturn an election.
Oh, we'll see. No,
our constitutional electoral process to do it.
I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And we'll see if there are any burner phones that he used because that 8-hour gap.
Yeah, January 6th insurrection.
Phone.
There were more injuries and deaths in Chicago yesterday than anything that anybody perpetuated on January 6th.
When I saw that video, I was heartbroken because I used to have a T-shirt that says Republicans don't riot.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, but that group?
I don't think anybody.
This is a long conversation we could have. But
I don't think any normal, law-abiding person that is a lover of our Constitution wants to see anybody beating down walls or doing anything or anybody for the love of God getting shot, killed, hurt because of anything somebody said. And to go back to the other caller about Obama, I think what he might have been talking about is I did meet President Obama, and there is a picture of me shaking his hand. What am I going to do?
What?
Not shake the guy's hand?
Every president.
Yeah. And while I was shaking his hand, and I didn't know this while you met a president, they will shake your hand until you pull back. They will not let go of your hand. And I was just sitting there shaking his hand, and I said, really? I go, with all the power you wield in this town, I go, you couldn't get LeBron James to come to the Bulls. That was the only thing I had to say to him.
Oh, my gosh. Well, back to January 6th. So I know a Republican woman that was there. She was inside for 2 minutes and 18 seconds. Mm-hmm. Didn't touch anything.
No.
6 months in jail.
Yeah. Well, hey, guess what?
I mean, she didn't touch anything. She was, that orderly group that was walking in between the velvet ropes. You're like, they'd never been to the Capitol before.
Yeah. Don't open up the doors.
I wouldn't have gone in, though. Nope. Well, but I know better. And I've already also been there before. Terry in Rogers Park, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Ray works well with Amy, but I got to say is I'm glad Ron DeSantis stopped Florida's public schools teaching sex education to children K through the third grade, but I don't want it taught after that either, and I think a parent should be able to opt out their child from that immoral teaching.
All right. Thanks, Terry, for the phone call.
You've got to be involved in the curriculum in your school district. It's up to you as parents to go to these school board meetings and get involved. Doesn't mean you have to go there and yell. Just go there and find out what's going on.
Yeah. And if you don't like what's happening, question authority.
And the other day we were talking about, I'd put up on my social media, and you can follow at Ramblin' Ray on Instagram or Facebook or RamblinRayStevens, .com is my website, which I'm told is booming today, thanks to your listeners. But we were talking about the differences between living here in the state of Tennessee the cost difference. And then people started talking about, the great schools in Chicagoland. And I'm like,
great schools.
Yeah. I'm like, you better, if you think your school districts are doing great, you might want to go and and really look and peel back the onion as to the test scores and how your schools are really doing. And then for granted, you know, look at Riverside, look at Wheaton, look at some of your school districts that are supposed to be top tier. Look at their school test scores and then tell me how great these schools are.
All right, let's go to, I think we're going to, let's go to Kevin in Austin, Texas real quick. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. I just want to say, yeah, I went up to Chicago last summer. Bad circumstances. My mother passed away. Thank God it was in the window where we could have a mass for her. But when I went up there, I felt like I was going behind the Iron Curtain. It's a different world than it is in Texas. And I wanted to reply to what Tom was talking about when you had him on. Things aren't going to change just when people say we've had enough. Because they'll just say, oh, okay, all right. But they're not going to change anything until these people get voted out.
Yep. And then it's important to vote.
God bless Texas.
Primary's coming up soon. Chuck and Delavan, close us out. Chuck, how are you?
I'm doing really good. Holy smokes. I really don't care for your mayor, but she's going to give money to people. I've been talking to different business owners and stuff. I've been working in downtown Lake Geneva and stuff, and I know a lot of the owners. they're actually scared that nobody's going to come up to Lake Geneva this summer. They have to hit it hard May, June, July, August, September, that's it. And they think with this high price of gas that nobody's going to come and visit. So I have nothing happy to say, but, you know, I usually do. But, this whole thing with this gasoline prices and everything, it's just got everything in a mess right now.
All right. Well, thanks, Chuck.
So, anyway.
Oh, I hung up on Chuck. I love you, Chuck.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.